Welcome to the program, God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Last week's program was about liberalism's hatred toward inequality. Not hatred toward unrighteous inequality, but all inequality. Cain was infuriated that Abel's offering was accepted by God and his offering was not. Cain wanted equal treatment between righteousness and unrighteousness. And so in anger, Cain killed his brother Abel. And Cain, as the progenitor of the kingdom of man, Cain expressed the founding ideology of the kingdom of man. The actions of Cain and the character of Cain will appear in every individual and culture that's in rebellion to God. As Cain demanded equality for evil, so also will the ungodly today. So, in our duty to be ambassadors for the kingdom of Christ, we are to point out the core objectives of the ungodly, of the kingdom of man. Ephesians 5:11, expose the unfruitful deeds of darkness. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. So in today's program, I would like to continue unpeeling the core motives of liberalism today, the kingdom of man. And I hope you understand what I mean by liberalism. I'm not speaking about the classic liberalism of the 17th century. That liberalism was based upon liberty from the tyranny of man and the tyranny of traditions of men. That was liberalism of Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. But modern liberalism means freedom from God and from God's law. Liberalism today seeks to overturn God's ways and the Christian worldview at every point. The Christian view of the home, the Christian view of government, the Christian view of gender, the biblical view of morality and work and accountability and responsibility. In essence, liberalism today is a complete rebellion against God. It's the ultimate hate speech against God. It's Psalm chapter 2. The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, the Messiah, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. In other words, break God's rules. So last week was all about liberalism's hatred toward righteous inequality, as seen in the life of Cain. This week, I'd like to address a second principle of the world, liberalism's suppression of the truth. And Cain suppressed the truth by killing his brother Abel. He would have killed God if it were possible, but it wasn't, so he killed one of God's representatives. And then Cain further suppressed the truth by going out from the presence of the Lord and building for himself a city. Genesis 4:16, then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had relations with his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Enoch, and he built a city, and he called the name of the city Enoch, after the name of his son. Cain didn't want to have to listen to this God, and he didn't want to be around those people who talked about God. And so one of the enduring characteristics of the city of man is the suppression of God's truth. Why do you think the Bible has been expelled from our courts, our schools, our government? Oh, it's been done under sophisticated legal jargon, but it's really the suppression of God's truth. And this suppression begins in Genesis and goes throughout the entire Bible. The Israelites would not listen to God through the prophet Moses, Deuteronomy 1:43. I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you rebelled against the command of the Lord. Once in the land of Israel, The people wouldn't listen to the prophets. 2 Chronicles 36:15. The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them again and again by his messengers, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they continually mocked the messengers of God, despised his words, and scoffed at his prophets. Then God himself arrived incarnate, and they wouldn't listen to him. Luke chapter 20, verse 13, in the parable of the vineyard. I will send my beloved son, perhaps they will listen to him. But to silence him, they put him to death. The ultimate suppression of truth. Then in the book of Acts, the Sanhedrin commanded the disciples not to speak in the name of the Lord. And the Sanhedrin didn't listen to Stephen. How did they suppress the truth? Acts 7:57. But they cried out with a loud voice, and they covered their ears, and they rushed at him with one impulse. And in Acts chapter 19, two Christians were dragged by the mob into the forum. And how did the crowd silence the Christians? They shouted for 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And in Acts chapter 22, Paul tries to speak, and the people toss dust into the air. The world not only abhors God's truth, the world works to suppress God's truth. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they use unrighteous means to suppress the truth. 1 John 4:6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. Now, among the foundational principles of the kingdom of man, here's a third. Liberalism's hatred of God's judgment. After God rebuked Cain for killing Abel, Cain complained, "My punishment is too great to bear." Genesis 4:13. Now, this is not remorse over his actions. He's complaining that he's being punished. He's basically saying here that his punishment is unjust. Now notice, Cain has just killed another human being, and now he's complaining that his punishment is too great to bear. Well, what about the punishment he unjustly brought upon Abel? Cain's response is hypocritical, it's illogical, but that's liberalism. It's never honest, it's never rational. So what we find in the Bible, starting in the life of Cain, are these foundational ideologies of the kingdom of man. A hatred toward righteous inequality between good and evil, a suppression of God's truth, and a hatred toward God's judgment. You can pick out any news story, any event in the media today, and analyze it accordingly. You hear a story and you should be able to say, oh, this is another example of the left's hatred toward righteous inequality, or this is another example of the left's attempt to suppress God's truth, or this is another example of how the left is trying to overturn God's righteous judgments. And this is what Christians need to learn to discern, not just to know the news, but to know what false ideology is being promoted or expressed. And here's another point. It will not be easy to discern. Because even though the left's agenda is evil at its core, it will always, always parade under the guise of righteousness. And it will fool the naive. For example, the left will protest inequality, and it will appear to be a righteous cause. I mean, even the Bible speaks about impartiality and equal treatment under the law. But the inequality the left is protesting is actually God's established inequality between good and evil. Inequality between morality and immorality, The left wants to remove the stigma and the guilt of sin. The left wants equal outcomes for the righteous and for the unrighteous. But it'll always appear as a legitimate protest against inequality. The left wants to suppress God's truth. And many people will jump on the bandwagon with the left because they believe the lie of the left, that their suppression of truth is fairness. That Christian truth needs to be silenced in public schools because it would be unfair for religion to be taught in schools. So God's truth is suppressed under the guise of fairness and freedom. And when the left acts against the judgments of God, it presents that rebellion as righteousness, as helping to remove the hardships off of people. There is a righteous protest against inequality, against indoctrination, against judgmentalism, and there is an unrighteous protest against inequality, indoctrination, and judgmentalism. And the difference needs to be discerned. But the devil, the kingdom of darkness, so manipulates the language as to make evil look like the righteous position. You could even take the temptation of Eve in the garden, put it in a different context, and most people would agree with the devil. Most people would support a woman who is being denied the right to eat from any tree she wanted, who is being denied knowledge, who is threatened with the death penalty for eating fruit. The devil appears to have a good cause. Sounds like a legitimate cause for a social justice warrior. Until the ideology of Satan is framed for what it really is, rebellion against the law of God. So, my point is this. Many people will get roped into these liberal movements, thinking that they're fighting racism or poverty or inequality. And maybe these movements are in part using a legitimate fight against these things. But the overall ideology is to tear down biblical morality and justice. For example, when Antifa was protesting the white supremacists in Charlottesville, we of course applaud any stand against unjust racism. But Antifa was chanting, "We're here, we're gay, we're against the KKK. Antifa was protesting against all moral judgments, against all of God's righteous distinctions. And they were lumping in anti-racism to legitimize their communist sexual liberation ideology. That's the real heart of the movement. And racial tensions are being drummed up to further their overturning of Christian moral and economic values. So don't be deceived. Every month, I get in the mail this one major evangelical Christian periodical. And I am amazed over how much these writers are tainted by the world, deceived by current movements. These writers seem to be tripping over themselves, trying to accommodate to the world. It's like these writers have a Sunday school background, but all of their degrees come from state universities. The world is pushing for global warming, and so this magazine will respond with articles about Christian stewardship of the earth, how Christians need to be concerned with global warming. The world pushes economic social justice, and so this magazine will respond with articles about how Christians need to share our wealth. The world pushes LGBT morality, and this magazine will not directly support LGBT morality, but there will be articles agreeing with the lie of the left about how the church has mistreated LGBT people and how the church needs to be more accepting. So rather than being prophets of God, these Christian writers are merely stooges for the world's current ideology. Now, if you go to more biblical Christian periodicals like World Magazine, those writers are not trying to appease the world in the global warming movement, they identify it for what it is, the worship of nature and animism, under the guise of environmentalism. And they will identify the social justice movement today as being at its core communistic social injustice. And they will identify how the LGBT movement is all about deceiving people by saying that if we're Christian, we need to be accepting. So there's a real difference between Christians who study and apply the scriptures and those who hold to a worldly form of Christianity, which is not really Christianity. It's 1 Timothy 3:5, holding to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, the convicting power of God's truth. Now, today's program could be all about professing Christians who are taken in by the deceptions coming from the left. But it's supposed to be about one of the core principles of the kingdom of man, the suppression of God's truth. I just got sidetracked here, trying to make the point that the ungodly will never admit that they're out to suppress God's truth. There will always be some excuse to legitimize the suppression. Again, take the story of Cain. Cain leaves the presence of the Lord, and he builds for himself a city. And I'm almost positive that Cain was not saying, "I'm evil, and I'm in rebellion to God." He was most likely building this city on the concept of freedom, fairness, that judgmentalism is not welcomed here. That's not who we are. So don't expect the suppression of God's truth by the world to be obvious. It will always be sold as a righteous cause. For example, there's a lot of talk these days coming from the left about white privilege. Secular colleges are hosting white privilege conferences to teach white people that they're racist. Jody Lilley is a white lesbian assistant professor at the University of Iowa. She writes that her goal is to make her mostly white graduate students keenly aware of their white privilege and to use her classroom to deconstruct whiteness. Now, at first appearance, we would assume that this movement is primarily against white racism. But if you dig behind the white privilege movement, it's really not about racism. It's about deconstructing Christian ethics and using the accusation of racism to do it. The Christian founders in America happened to be white Englishmen. And so to discredit Christian values, discredit white people. And this is what the white privilege movement is saying. Your whiteness blinds your judgment. So your beliefs and the beliefs of our founding fathers are hopelessly wrong. And do you think I'm making this up? Frank Bruni writes in the New York Times, "I'm a white man, so you should listen to absolutely nothing I say, at least on matters of social justice. I have no standing, no way to relate. My color and my gender nullify me." Now, this is really the ultimate ad hominem argument against Christianity. An ad hominem argument is to argue against the person rather than to argue the issue. It's really quite juvenile. Rather than having to deal with the issue, you simply say, "Well, you're just a stupid person," or "You're a dirty Englishman," or "A dirty Irishman," or "You're a filthy Jew." You're white, so everything you say is invalid. And it's really no different than a Roman saying to the Apostle Paul, "You're a Jew, so you can't possibly have anything to say to us. We don't have to listen to you because you're Jewish." And so you respond to that Roman, "You mean you're prejudiced against Jews?" "Oh, no, no. I mean, Jews have a different experience and upbringing, so their worldview cannot be my worldview." And this white privilege ad hominem argument is also an extension of relativism. If there's no such thing as truth, then everyone has to make up their own truth. Then your truth is your truth, My truth is my truth. And your truth has to be solely based not on God, but upon your own environment, your own biology. So I can ignore your truth because for me, it's error. So the white privilege movement is really a sophisticated yet juvenile way to suppress truth, to give the ungodly an excuse as to why they don't have to listen to the founding fathers and historic Christian teaching, political, economic, moral. And this is also why the left is calling anything they disagree with hate speech. It's a way to suppress and to create animus against Christian truth. Now, if you think I'm off my rocker claiming that the white privilege movement is really about the delegitimizing of Christian values, do some research. Check out Carol Swain's work. She's a black professor of political science at Vanderbilt, specializing in the field of race relations. She's written the book Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. She has written a book about white nationalism, and she has a piece about the myth of white privilege in America. The leftist group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, has blacklisted Swain for not following the liberal narrative. Now, I could go through a list of all sorts of current liberal movements and show how the underlying motive is the suppression or the delegitimizing of Christ. But I'm out of time. Maybe one of these days I can make this show an hour long or do it 3 days a week. But I'm just going to have to leave you with these general principles and let you apply them to the current trends. One of the foundational principles of the kingdom of man in rebellion to God is always to find ways, to find reasons, to find methods, to find philosophies to suppress God's truth. So be aware of this. Don't be deceived. Understand what the world is trying to do and how you are manipulated by the kingdom of darkness. And I close with this challenge. Rather than suppressing the truth, be one of those people who actually comes to the truth. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the judgment, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light. And he doesn't come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light. I invite you to come. If you want God, if you want his salvation, reject the kingdom of man, reject the way of Cain, and join with Christ and his people. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website to listen to this program again or to listen to past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Send me an email from the website link, and I will send you out a weekly email with a one-paragraph synopsis of each upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray for the soul listening today that's on the edge, in the world, but now seeing the evil and the darkness of the world. May they make the decision to come to the light and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.